Christmas Eve, 1914, was a crisp and clear night. The First World War had already been going on for a number of months, and thousands of men and women had lost their lives. Soldiers on either side were dug into their trenches and beginning to experience just what trench warfare was going to mean for them. That Christmas Eve, though, had brought a cool wind so that the mud that surrounded them finally froze, and they had a break from the muck and the mire. And in the quiet of that night, a voice came across no man's land. Silent night, holy night. Soldiers on either side began to join in, singing in their own native tongue. German, English, French, they all sang together Christmas carols. And little by little, they began to climb out of the trenches to meet one another in no man's land. They played cards, they smoked cigars and had whiskey together. They learned each other's names. Some of them got a football game going, a soccer game, we would say. And for a brief moment, there was peace. That was the informal Christmas truce of 1914. Of course, that didn't last long, and the higher-ups made sure that that didn't happen again. You ought not to fraternize with your enemy, you know. But for a brief moment, there was peace. The soldiers in the trenches that night had the right idea. Christmas means peace. The events that we've heard read about here tonight mean peace. The very fact that Jesus came to earth means that we can have real, lasting, permanent peace when we trust in him. What I want to do for the next 10 minutes or so is to look back at the stories that we have heard so far tonight, and I want to highlight for you three main points. Christmas means peace with God, Christmas means peace with others, and Christmas means peace in our hearts. So let's start with the first one. Christmas means peace with God. I think that the general consensus in our culture today is that if there is God, then he is a grandfatherly-like character who floats up in the clouds on his heavenly rocking chair and is reluctant to get too involved in the affairs of human beings. As long as everybody is nice to one another and kind, then, you know what, it's just a do-whatever-you-feel-like sort of situation. In this understanding of God, God is our buddy, and he can get us out of a scrape, and we're on good terms with him. The Bible, though, tells a very different story. When we do whatever we want or ignore God in any way, then we are actually separating ourselves from God. We are creating a breach and a real conflict between the two of us, and we all do it. Let me put it to you like this. Imagine that your 16-year-old daughter one day out of the blue steals your wallet and your car and heads off to the big city. They go into the big city to live it up, and you're concerned for them, right? You call, you text, they don't respond. You can see from your credit card bill that she's racking up a lot of air miles at the liquor store. You later learn, when you cancel the card, that she sells your car under the table to have some more money to live on. How do you feel about that? Anger? Frustration? Betrayal? I really hope this isn't hitting too close to home for anybody. But compassion, too, probably as a parent, because you know that she's better than that. This is the way that God feels about us when we ignore him. This is the way that God feels about us when we take his gifts for granted. And like a good parent, he longs to deal with this rift that we ourselves have created. And so in the act of Christmas, God himself came into the world to repair the breach and to pay back the injustice that we ourselves had done. We can see that in what the angel said to Joseph. You'll recall the angel comes to Joseph, or Joseph has a dream, and he says to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He will repay the bills that you have racked up by your ignoring God." When we ignore God, it's not a no big deal situation. We offend a heavenly Father who loves us and cares deeply for us. That's sin. And tell me, what happens when you disobeyed your earthly father? Some of you are probably old enough to have gotten the strap, right? But rather than coming down with utter justice upon us, God himself came in the person of his own son and bore the price that our sin cost. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. He bore the punishment for our sin on the cross so that we could be reconciled to God and restored to him. In short, he came to give us peace with God. Where are you in your relationship with God today? Off in the big city, far from God, unaware of the love that he has for you? Jesus was born to reconcile you to God, to free you from the guilt of sin, to free you from the price of pain, and to invite you home. Come home to peace with God. That's one way that Christmas means peace. Peace with God. Now, the second way is this: peace with others. Jesus' death and resurrection don't just mean that we have peace with God, but that we ought to have peace with other people. Again and again in the Bible, we are counseled, love the way that God has loved you. Forgive others the way that you have been forgiven. Essentially, the meaning of Christmas is take the love that God has shown to you and extend that to other people. I think that's implicit in the songs that we have sung and in the Gloria that the angel spoke to the shepherds. They come and they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those on whom his favor rests." You know, there's a sense in which this applies to our next point about peace in our hearts. But at the same time, this is a peace among people. Right, the angel says that there will be peace amidst people on whom God's favor rests. Jesus' birth is meant to bring reconciliation between people. Jesus' birth shows how far God was willing to go in order to reconcile us back to him. And he invites us to go to similar lengths to be reconciled to other people. Now, there's no doubt about it, that's hard. It is hard work to make sacrifices, to make compromises, to work through these conflicts that we have with other people. And yet the angel's song, the story of Christmas, says that it is possible. It's really interesting to look back at the songs of Christmas past to see that again and again, the songwriters grasp that idea that Jesus' birth is somehow connected to the peace that we might have with other people. So, for example, do you know the carol, "Do you hear what I hear?" I sang that totally wrong. Do you hear what, you know it. Said the little lamb to the something, something. A tale as big as a kite, right? Please don't judge me on my singing. A tale as big as a kite. That is a reference to the star, of course, but at the same time, do you know when that was written? Right around the Cuban Missile Crisis. And the author of that song is looking at Jesus' birth and going, peace is possible even now. We are going to sing here in a few minutes, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. One of the verses talks about men fighting men and missing the point of Christmas. That was written in light of the Mexican-American War in the 1860s. I heard the bells on Christmas Day that we just sang a few minutes ago. That was written by a man who was nursing his son back to health after he had served as a foot soldier in the American Civil War. These songs all connect Jesus' birth to the possibility of peace and imply that the fact that God came to earth makes peace possible between you and I. When we live like Jesus, motivated by his grace, it is possible for us to have peace with other people. And Jesus' willingness to give up the glory of heaven, come to earth and die on a cross, shows us what it will take to make that happen. He surrenders his own interests. We ought also to look out for the interests of others. Are you embroiled in any sort of conflict right now? Christmas complicates things sometimes, doesn't it, with that? Because you end up with people that maybe you don't really want to see. Jesus' birth says that there is hope for reconciliation. If we look not only to our own interests, but to their interests too. If God and sinners can be reconciled, then we can be reconciled to one another. Christmas means peace with others. Christmas means peace with God, peace with others. It also means peace in our hearts. Christmas is a busy time, isn't it? There's presents to buy, meals to prepare, parties to attend, bills to consider, parking lots to brave. How many of you had a meal tonight already with friends? I know you guys did. Double booking all the time at Christmas, right? We try to make them happen. Over and again. No, I'll say this. There is so much happening that it is so easy to lose sight of the baby, the God, lying in a manger. In the midst of that, in the midst of the go, 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 in the midst of the, listen, kids, just put your coats on so we can go out the door. Remember, Christmas means that peace in our hearts is possible. Over and again in the Nativity accounts, they say the same thing. Don't be afraid. The angel appears to Zechariah and says, do not be afraid. The angel appears to Mary and says, do not be afraid. The angels come to the shepherds and they say, do not be afraid. Jesus' birth says to us, do not be afraid. Don't let the worries of this world crowd out the God who has come to give us peace. Don't let the quest to win Christmas take your eyes off of the peace that Jesus has already secured for you. I suspect that many of us here really just need to stop for a minute and kneel before our Savior King to let him renew and restore us. Again, we're going to sing a carol in a minute that I really didn't get as a kid, but now I understand. It goes, you beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Is that you? Does that describe the way you're feeling right now? If so, look now for glad and golden hours. Kind of archaic language to say good things are coming swiftly on the wing, and rest beside the weary road. And hear the angels sing. And what do they sing of? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Christmas means peace in our hearts. It means peace with God. It means peace with others. It means peace in our hearts. How do we apply that? Well, here, do you have peace with God? If not, come back to Him. Stop living for yourself. Receive the grace of God secured by the baby in the hay, the Savior on the cross. Be at peace with God. It's not something that we have to earn. It truly is a gift that we have only to receive. Do you have peace with others? If not, extend the mercy that God has shown to you to others who have hurt you. I mean, yes, be wise about it, but just like the soldiers in the First World War, just like the hymn writers, trust that Jesus' birth does indeed mean that peace with others is possible. And do you have peace in your heart? If not, let the peace of Christ rule richly in your heart as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and Christmas carols in the grocery store, for goodness sakes. Be still and know that He is God. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You for coming to earth. We thank You for having the humility to give up the glories of heaven to come and to die to reconcile us to God. Lord, forgive the sins that we have done against You without thinking much of it. Lord, we pray that You would draw us nearer to You during this Christmas season. Lord, we pray that You would help each of us to seek peace with You. Lord, help each of us to extend love and grace to one another the way that Jesus demonstrates love and grace in coming to earth. Lord, I pray for people who are here right now who are exhausted and running on empty. God, I pray that You would prompt them in their hearts this week to take a minute to breathe, to look to You, and to be restored. God, You are a Father who loves us deeply. You have made it possible for us to come back to You because of what Jesus did. Thank You for that. And I pray that You would help us to walk in a way that is pleasing to You. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.